Welcome back to Our Blue Bahamas. I am your host, Jasmine Cully. Today's guest has spent his career proving a simple idea that the people best placed to protect these islands are the people who are from it. Dr. Antolino Davis is a renowned Bahamian scientist whose work spans in biodiversity, community-led conservation, and building real pathways for Bahamians and Caribbean students in science. He is also the force behind BEANGS, Bahamas Educated in Natural and Geospatial Sciences. We're getting into all of it, Dr. Davis. Welcome. So tell me a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm Bahamian born and raised in New Providence. And then I did my associate's degree at COB back then. And after that, I really didn't have a lot of direction. So I had done some exploration in medicine and then in veterinary science at the Bahamas Humane Society. But it turns out that I was not really interested in being inside a building for very long periods of time. Or some of the care that you give into like taking care of one animal, and then it comes down to, you know, like, can the client pay? And then you have to put down that animal. So that pushed me away from that that medical science field. And I got the opportunity to do the Kirtland's Warbler Research and Training Program, which basically tossed me into the field in Andrus and then Eleuthera. But I got to go into the field with scientists who were like the David Suzuki's of the world, right? The David Attenboroughs. And I literally worked with two Daves. I don't know, maybe it's a science thing. But Dave Ewart and Dave Curry and also Joe Wunderly and Eric Carey, they led us through this this training program where we as Bahamians were taught to do science in the field, learn about our natural environment, and follow these formal standards that guide how science should be done. And that experience really transformed everything for me. And I springboarded into the Abaco Parrot Project and then got a scholarship to do my master's and my bachelor's and my master's. I eventually came home and I was so excited to work and basically save the world, because there was no one else in my environment who I knew had a master's degree in environmental science and was doing these things. And so I came back and I met with quite a few challenges. But one of them was the challenge of finding Bahamians who had those skills, who could scuba dive, who were interested in the environment, who had a little bit of a science background or were interested in gaining more experience. And I approached the ministries, the NGOs, academia. And I said, hey, let's do this. Let's make a clearinghouse where we could keep track of Bahamian scientists. And eventually, when we need them to do some research or something like that, we'll know where they are. We'll know what their skill set is. We'll know like what it takes to engage them and bring them into the project. And everyone said, nah, we can't do that. Like, ain't nobody got money for that. And so I started BEANGS, Bahamians Educated in Natural and Geospatial Sciences, on Facebook. And right. It was like, I invited like 50 people. And now it's like thousands of people on Facebook. And we also have a WhatsApp group that's more like leadership, people with formal degrees and things like that. All the NGOs and government agencies that impact the environment or regulate the environment are represented in there. So it's pretty powerful. And although we're not strict about a lot of formalities, from the very beginning, I had this vision of it being one welcoming and equitable for Bahamian scientists. We have some organizations that don't have a Bahamian employed with them, and I might say, like, hey, like we'd love to have you involved in beings. Who's your Bahamian, right? So in the WhatsApp group is like almost strictly Bahamians. And so that was really conscious. There's no cussing. Although, you know, some people in some spaces use profanities and stuff like that. That's a cultural element that I've included from the beginning, because as Bahamians, when we walk into a space, even if it's in our own country and we're in an academic or professional space, just the way we present ourselves can be looked down upon because of our history, colonialism, neocolonialism, the economics of the situations. And so just impressing that upon the younger Bahamians who are coming up through beings as well. It's always been really important to me. And then I went off and did my PhD, and now I'm Dr. Ancelino Davis. And a lot of people call me Dr. Lino. I have little kids who I first met when they were in primary school and now graduating now. That's wild. they're like, oh, I remember you brought a cockroach to school, or you brought a snake to school, or something like that. And I'm like, yeah, that was me. I don't remember your name, but if you need any assistance doing science in the Bahamas, I got you. You know what I mean? And so I've always really liked that.
Something you said, which was so important, what kind of pivoted your, I would say, sparked your interest more into the natural science, was actually being in the natural science, in the environment. And I think it's so important, especially young Bahamians who've never had an opportunity. I think that's why I think beans is so huge, who don't know that there's an opportunity to pursue a career or even a degree in the natural science. And, you know, just being in those environments is just so captivating. And I think that's just something what at Reef, you know, we tend to focus on a lot of experiential learning modules where we can take students out to spark that same level of curiosity. So I think that's amazing.
And actually, when I came back with my master's degree, one of the best experiences that I had was really teaching the brief teacher training workshop. And so this is back in, I think, 2009 was my first one that I taught at. And you're in this environment with educators who are guiding our young students into their first experiences in science. And some of these teachers have been teaching for 30, 40 years, and they've never put their face in the water, in the ocean, in the Bahamas. And so getting those teachers, those in-service teachers, new teachers, as well as really experienced teachers, and teaching them to snorkel for the first time, getting these older people, some of them like on the verge of retirement, but giving them that spark that Brief gives to kids every time they do that Brief summer camp. And you get someone, even before they even start snorkeling, to put the mask on and just look. And we were just like crab walking around and looking at the fish walk around your feet and stuff like that. And the change in these adults was just amazing. And I forever, like, I carry that teacher's training workshop moment like in me and with me. And I think, like, if we could get every Bahamian to do this, to be one of the beings, right? To experience our forests, our marine life, when they get into the House of Assembly, when they become the principal of a school, when they're making decisions for development, we wouldn't have all of these problems.
So much about being a Bahamian is our environment. And just a little full circle moment, because you brought up the teachers' workshop, My mom, she's an educator for over 30 years. She did a teacher's workshop. And I mean, I'd like to believe that that has an impact on me because a lot of our science classes as a primary, because she taught me in school as well, was we went
Wait,
outside.
who's
We
your mom?
my mom is Nishko Kwali. She's a
Eshkoka.
principal now. She's almost ready for retirement,
But
but
shout
it's
her out,
just
like these educators, like let us know her name, you know what I mean?
right. So it's just such a full circle moment in having that access to the environment at such a young age. You know, it really sparks the curiosity. And when I finished, I went to UB. I started at COB, graduated from UB. I noticed that there was such a huge gap. Like I knew the biology courses, but what about Bahamian biology? What about our ecosystems? You know, and I think me personally, beings has been a huge support within my own professional career. So what I want, so much of your work is about creating opportunities. And you know, so I just want to say, why is cultivating local scientific talent so crucial for the future, especially in this region? I know you would have started saying that, you know, when people leave and become in these leadership positions, that they have a renewed mindset towards the environment. But tell us a little bit more about that.
So, I believe that there's really no reason for most people to protect and conserve anything that they don't understand or benefit from in some way, right? That's just the way human beings are, right? We choose the things that we love. That's the first thing, right? And that love, that could be the peace that you find being out in the environment. It could be the family and friendship connections that you have. It could be your access to things and travel and new devices and all that stuff. Whatever you choose to interact with and to love, then you would go to protect that. In human terms, protecting things that we love means supporting all the things that are connected to that thing that we love, or destroying all the things that damage that thing that we love.
Right.
Right? And unfortunately, when people love like shops and malls and driving fast cars, if that's the first love that they have, then all of that bush or that rocky shoreline just gets in the way.
Right.
And so if we look at our culture and we recognize that everything that Bahamians do is tied to this environment. You take a Bahamian from every day you go to school and you come back home and you see the ocean every day, twice a day. And you go and drop them in the middle of Kansas or something where it's just grass or corn, they like Bahamians get stressed out about that stuff,
Right.
you know? And then you bring them back and say, hey, like this is what you've been missing. Like feel that breeze, smell that salt, right? And if they have that connection, when you bring them back, it doesn't matter where they go to get their education and stuff like that. When they come back, they're going to see the value and they're going to protect that and strengthen it. And some things like we don't think about it, but even our culture, Bahamian culture, is constantly being invaded and altered by other things. If you look at our just environmentally, lionfish. There
Right.
was no lionfish in Junkanoo before maybe the early 2000s. And after the lionfish invaded our oceans, now every Junkanoo parade has a lionfish costume.
Right.
So you can actually have environmental impacts invade your culture. You had Junkanoo costumes that were made out of sponges, like sponges taken from the ocean around the Bahamas. You're not going to see that again after the major collapse of the sponging industry.
Right.
And people who, I find it really interesting when some people who are champions of Bahamian culture or talking about investing in Bahamians and the Bahamas don't acknowledge it or can't see it. And I love taking someone out in the bush and being like, hey, that's that bush medicine. That's what's inside that drink that people have been using for millennia, right? For hundreds of years. You know, the Arawaks taught this to Columbus. And people, I think, my job is to make it so that any Bahamian can study the Bahamas without leaving the Bahamas.
That's huge.
And one of my goals is that if you are on any island in the Bahamas, there should be like 80, 90% of your education, your tertiary education, you should be able to graduate from UB on any island. We are an archipelagic nation. So our leadership should work in that way.
Right? So speaking, you said on different, you know, we're very NASA.
I can hear you.
We are very, very NASA centric, you know. So I know that you're currently working on some initiatives in Grand Bahama right now. How yes. about you tell us about some of those?
I think the first main thing that I'm working on is this collaboration with Dr. Tenoya Thompson. And we have a Bahamians Birds and Botany program where we also do marine science, but it's conservation leadership. So these are students who are not, they're not necessarily science students. Most of them would have never thought of picking up a pair of binoculars. But we get them out into the field and we're teaching them about the very basics of environmental science and how it's connected to their lived experience as Bahamians. And we get them out so that they can also see marine life and stuff like that, work with different conservation partners, Blue Lagoon Island, our Dastra Gardens, Conservation Nation, and the Cincinnati Zoo and Botanical Gardens. We've sent our students up to Ohio, sent them over to Baja, Mexico to go swimming with whale sharks.
Wow.
And these are transformative experiences for these students. So that's more nationally. And we're going to open the applications for that soon. So definitely check out Science and Perspective and wildspark.earth for that. And then here, I've been doing significant work under the University of the Bahamas. My University of the Bahamas had just as an assistant professor in small island sustainability. And engaging with students in my introductory sustainability and environmental science courses and showing students, I have students who install weave or do nails and who are preaching in a church or who are volunteer firefighters and police officers. And they come through my class and they get to see how everything can be looked at through sustainability lenses. That I think is one of the biggest opportunities that I've participated in here that is most fulfilling to me. And then after Hurricane Dorian, there was a major oil spill here in Grand Bahama. And the site where the oil impacted the forest, I've been helping to regrow a forest there. And
Right.
now it looks worlds away from what it was when I arrived. We have some good succession going on. And we've planted some pine trees. So it's really interesting to be able to be a part of recovery from a major impact like that on the ecosystem side, after having participated in some of the emergency response, just like
Right.
finding people, mapping the impact, and then doing some of the assessments early on, with regard to the hurricane.
So you're saying that our listeners, we can get in contact to see all of these projects on Science and Perspective. Is that a website? Is it a Facebook page? Tell us a little bit more and getting a little bit more information on that.
So, you could definitely catch up with me at Sci Perspective. And that's my handle throughout social media. This is one of the mugs that I'm putting out now. So I have some swag, but you can see it has like the common name and scientific name, which you don't usually see on merchandise. And
And
yeah, Science Perspective is everywhere.
and that's at SCI Perspective.
Perspective. Yeah. And it
Okay.
comes from my business name is Science and Perspective, because I believe everyone can use more science,
Right.
but we need better perspective so that we can apply it appropriately.
And then also too, I love the programs you said because a lot of persons feel like, in order to be a part of the environment, you have to have a formal degree. But there's such a missed opportunity for persons to be in any walks of life to participate in citizen science. And I think that's so beautiful how persons could connect their own livelihood, their own interest into the environment. That's really wonderful.
Yes, most definitely. And that's really where I get my drive from. A lot of people are like, they see me smiling as I'm like going through the day. Or the other day I was at a party and I helped to remove a frog from their bathroom, right? And I'm like doing a like impromptu science class with the frog. And then at another party, it was in the evening or in the night, and a cockroach was like feeding on a flower. And so like then we had a little talk about like cockroaches might be pollinators at night. And it's just I think a lot of people don't understand that like anywhere I go, I can see the science, right? I can just see the science everywhere. And so I like taking people into that little experience wherever they are. And it's always beautiful to see the light bulbs going on inside their heads about like wow, like I didn't think of it like that, or I didn't see it like that. And some things are just really practical. Like I tell all of my colleagues and the organizations I work with, if you didn't spend this, if you didn't turn on this light every day, or if you didn't waste this gas doing this thing every week, what would you do with that extra $500 a year? And when you talk to a church, and I ask them, I say, in your ministry, how many people can you feed for $500 a year? And I talked to my teachers or professors, and I said, how many student scholarships can you generate with an extra $1,000 or $10,000 a year? And it put things in perspective. And sometimes it's sad that we have to translate everything to money.
Right.
But then we just planted a new community garden at the Grand Bahama Red Cross Society. And the group that was there, planting the garden is one thing, but now I have 30 volunteers who learned that they could plant the scallions that they bought from the food store and eventually have infinite onions, right?
Yes.
And they're just like really like this is just like free. And so it's just so amazing that you could like plant seeds literally and figuratively and change Bahamian communities and society in this way. And it's fun for me. But I also think it pays huge dividends for our country.
So for young Bahamians who want to become a scientist or who want to get more involved in the environment, because anybody can be a citizen science, right?
Yeah.
And so what advice would you give them?
I would say ask the question. Like, and you can definitely reach out to Science and Perspective, and it's at Sci Perspective on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. Send me a question. If I don't know the answer, I have a cell phone full of scientists who know that answer for you or know how to get the answer. And that's sometimes more important. So I'd say for any student, and it doesn't just have to be science, ask the question. And if the adult that you ask that question of, or the person that you look up to who you ask that question of, doesn't have the answer, ask them if they know someone who has the answer.
Right.
Follow Science and Perspective. And I often post job opportunities, career opportunities, interesting things that are going on. And look for beings on Facebook. Bahamians educated in natural and geospatial sciences. And we have that space that you can ask scientific questions. You can ask when the next scholarship application is coming out. We always have like the BNT summer camp, the brief summer camp, the waterkeepers summer camp. Coral Vita has activities, Conservation Cove, Blue Action Lab. All of those things are right there at your fingertips. And so it's accessible. It's more accessible now with the digital environment, and there's no cost to ask, right? So that would be my first thing to say to them. The next thing is think about your social skills. It isn't all about just the academics, math, and science. Understand that we are all human as well. Interact in kindness and respect with other students, other scientists. You know, that might be the person that you scuba diving with someday, right? That might be the person that you out in the forest getting lost with one day. And hopefully I get to interact with more of these students and help to support them through that journey. But if not, there are hundreds of other beings out there.
Wow. Yes, that's so amazing. Before we end, I just want you, I know for me, working at Brief, one of my favorite things in working in this space is when you introduce somebody to the ocean or to a wetland, their world gets just a little bigger. You know what I mean? And it's like that wow moment. So what do you think is your wow moment that really motivates you in this journey?
So when I was working for the Nature Conservancy, I volunteered to do a bird tour in the retreat gardens at the Bahamas National Trust. And one of my friends participated, and so she's like my age, but she had her daughter with her, and her daughter must have been like 3 years old or something. And so we gave the daughter some binoculars, but I think as adults, we kind of might condescend a little bit to younger people. And so I'm teaching everyone to use the binoculars and stuff like that. And this little girl is saying, "Bird, bird," and she's pointing into the forest, and none of us could see the bird. And so, like, I'm still trying to manage the group and talk to the adults and communicate with the adults. And honestly, pretty much being dismissive of this little girl. But then I look at her and she's like, bird, bird. And she's like trying to communicate this. And so I had to get down on my knees next to her and like just really like scrunch down. And I look where she was pointing and she's pointing under the bushes. And that's the first time that I saw a Caribbean dove at the retreat gardens at the Bahamas National Trust. So this little like child taught me how to find Caribbean doves in that spot. Me, big time ornithologist, teaching people how to go birding, and that is why my business is called Science and Perspective. Because if I didn't change my perspective to hers, I never would have seen that. And I always get a little some dust always go in my eye when I start talking about that story. But she really changed my outlook on what science is. It was a real visceral moment for me. I did have to go back and process it later on, but it was a really powerful perspective changing point or inflection point for me.
Dr. Davis, thank you so much for the work that you're doing, and and for the reminder that the next generation of Bahamian conservationists is already here, already capable
Yes.
and worth investing into. To everyone listening, if this conversation has moved you, share it with a young person who has that spark for science. The Bahamas needs them. Until next time, protect your boo. Thank you so much.